on down.
In fact, I was the baddest dribbler in the whole world.
Then one day his mama bought him a basketball.
And I love that basketball. I took that basketball everywhere I went. You know what? That basketball was like a basketball to me. Come on, you cheerleader.
Welcome to a victorious Beat Georgia Tech edition of Basketball Overtime presented by Garza Law Firm.
And GarzaLaw.com. You can reach them online through that way, Brian.
Absolutely. Tennessee just defeats Georgia Tech 77-70, and the Vols improved to 6-1 on the year. We want to give you the number to call in on. It is 865-200-5402. The Vols go to Atlanta and beat Georgia Tech 77-70.
Yeah, going to have some stats for you as we roll along tonight. Obviously, want to take your calls. Brian, a lot to talk about, obviously, as this game just wrapped up today. There's going to be a lot said about the quality of this Georgia Tech team, but at the end of the day, this is an ACC team, albeit a very lower, much in the lower tier of the ACC. It's an ACC team. It's on the road. It's an early December game. Any win you get at this time of the year against a big Power 5, if you will, conference team is a good one.
And you've got to learn how to win games where you don't really play your best throughout. You've got to learn how to win ugly. You've got to learn how to grind it. And I think Tennessee made, I want to say, 3 field goals in the last 10 minutes of the game and got most of their other points from the charity stripe and was able to stretch their lead and keep Georgia Tech at arm's length for most of the game.
Yeah, I think that you saw some maturity with this team tonight. Did they play their best basketball? Of course not. Georgia Tech, did they play their best? Of course not. But what you saw is this is a game that Tennessee could have messed around and lost. It wouldn't have been a ton of blame. Oh, it's a road game. Finals are about to start.
They would have lost last year, I think.
But you see the maturity, as you were talking about, where this is a game where you just go down and handle your business. You talked about it right before we came on air. The coaching edge you'd give it 10 times out of 10 to Rick Barnes. The line was somewhere around 6.5. It doesn't matter. 1-point win, 20-point win, I don't care. You get a W this time of year against a ACC opponent. Great. It's a great resume builder. And it's not going to look as good as maybe that Purdue would have won, win would have been. But, you know, Brian, three, four months down the road when it gets closer to selection time, if you lose this game tonight, that could be a game that ends up coming back to haunt you. You win it, you take care of business, and I think, like you said, it's a sign of maturity.
Yeah, and then you hope Georgia Tech can go on and have a decent season, but Tennessee's going to play 2 other ACC opponents. This is the second of 4 non-conference. North Carolina State was a matchup in the Bahamas tournament where they weren't scheduled to play, but just the way the brackets fell, they ended up in the consolation game, so that's the first ACC opponent. And Georgia Tech makes number 2, so that's 2 wins over pretty strong basketball schools already. They still have North Carolina to play at home. That's going to be hard. But they've got Wake Forest, another really winnable game on the road before Christmas against Wake Forest.
Yeah, and I think both of those games are winnable, and obviously the North Carolina game will be a tough one. But my thing is, could I see North Carolina winning that game? Went beating us by 10-15 points, absolutely. But North Carolina, you're not gonna tell me that they're better than they were last year because they won the national championship last year. Now they're a very good team and they could go on and have a really good run again this year, but they're really good last year, and Tennessee obviously is better this year than they were last year. And you played them on the road. You kind of surprised them, maybe caught them off guard a little bit, but you almost beat them last year at their place with a lesser, more inexperienced team.
Should have won the game.
Yeah.
No question.
Now you've got them this year at home. The players all know it. The coaches know it. You should have won last year. I don't see why they can't win that one. But let's talk about this one tonight. This is the Garza Law Firm Basketball Overtime, presented to you by Marcos Garza. If you want to leave a tip tonight, go to TonyBasilio.com. If you want to check out Marcos Garza and all the things that they do over there with those great folks, just check out GarzaLaw.com. That's GarzaLaw.com to get in here with Brian and myself. We'd love to hear from you. Just call 865-200-5402. Brian, I think we got our first caller.
Let's go to, you're on the air.
Hey, guys, great to hear both of you tonight in the Raymere studio giving me a break, but I just wanted to call and encourage folks to call in tonight and share their thoughts. How about this team, guys, are 6-1, and you know who they remind me of? As I'll take you back to my childhood. John Chaney used to do this with kids at Temple. He would just beat you because he was tougher than you. And, guys, I think Tennessee won that game tonight because they're tougher than Georgia Tech. Y'all's thoughts?
I believe so. I think Tennessee is a team that's going to outwork people this year if they don't out-talent them. And I think they are going to – we'll have to look at the stats as far as rebounding goes. But, I mean, what do they out-rebound? Did they out-rebound them? That's a good question. Yeah, Tennessee is – they get loose balls. They get second chance points. They get to the free throw line when it matters. And I think Georgia Tech had more free throws in the first half, but I believe that's sort of evened out in the second half. And I think Tennessee can wear on you as the game goes along, especially they have depth and they can outwork teams to the point where maybe in the second half their opponents just get a little bit tired. And their shots are – let's see Georgia Tech in the second half.
Yeah, and Georgia Tech, guys, I mean, my own. I mean, watching them play, I don't even know where to begin.
Well, let's look at some stats, if you got a second, Tony. Field goal percentage on the night, Tennessee outshot them 43% to 39%. 54 field goal attempts for them to 53, so very even there. Three-point percentage, Tennessee shot 40%, they shot 38%. A couple of the telling stats, though. Free throw percentage, Tennessee shot 85% from the charity stripe tonight, while the Yellow Jackets shot just 67%. Free throws, Tennessee 23 of 27, Georgia Tech 22 of 33, each team with 14 turnovers. Georgia Tech out-rebounded the Vols by 1, 36-35. So actually, Tennessee's been a very good rebounding team early on this season.
What's the offensive rebounds?
Offensive rebounds, Georgia Tech out-rebounded us by 4, 15-11. But Tony, we've seen it in the NC State game, and we're seeing it again, starting to develop a pattern here. Tennessee dominated off the bench. 33 points off the bench for the Vols, just 8 off the bench for the Yellow Jackets.
And one thing about this team is they had the ability to, against an NC State, they led wire to wire. And tonight I think they led most of the game from maybe once it got in the 20s on. And that's what good teams do. They get up on you and they make a 7 or 8 point lead feel like 10 or more.
And Tony,
yeah, they really suffocate people with their defense. And guys, you got to encourage folks to call in and let them know you're there. I'll tweet it out.
Please.
But good stuff, guys. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Tony.
And thanks, Tony.
865, go take a break. You've earned it. And I'm sure we've got more of that coming tomorrow and all week until we actually get a new football coach, whenever that is. 865-200-5402, encouraging everybody to call in and give us your thoughts about tonight's game.
Brian,
Tennessee's, go ahead, Alex.
As blocks, although Tennessee's not a hugely height-gifted team, if you will. They don't have a ton of height inside. Grant Williams, we know what he can do. 7 blocks to 1 tonight for the basket Vols. Assists 15-13. Times the game was tied 4, but as you mentioned, a lot of that was early on. I think it was like 2-4, 4-6, 6-8. And then, as you mentioned, it's a very good point that I hadn't thought about. Once Tennessee got up, the lead was never 15, 20 points. They didn't run away with it, but they were able to keep it, and especially at the end when it came down to free throws, guys like Bone, some other guards were in there, and they were able to finish the game home at the free throw stripe.
And Grant Williams knows how to use his body. That's what he does. I think that's where he has the edge. And I think the play of the night might have been his little dunk there over two big bodies from Georgia Tech, Lammers and the other guy. And that might have been the play of the night. It looked like he got fouled, but they just said it was 2 points. But Grant Williams, to me, he's tremendous. We're going to go to the phones here. 865-200-5402. You're up first. Go right ahead.
Hey, guys. This is Don.
Don from Sweetwater.
Yeah. Hey, it's kind of refreshing to they talking something different.
Something positive.
What we've talked about 24/7 for a week. Attitude in Big Orange Land, definitely different tonight than last Sunday night. So it's just this basketball team is a lot of fun, guys. You never know who's going to be the, you know, the big hero. I mean, Grant's Grant. He's going to do Grant's thing, and I think I wouldn't trade him for pretty much any player in the conference. But Olamonte, he may throw up a stinker here and there. He may even have a bad night. But when, if you want somebody, even though he may take a stupid shot, if you need a big shot and somebody ain't afraid to take it, Lamonte Turner's your man, isn't he?
You're exactly right. He's never met a shot that he did not think was a good shot for him, and I think that can certainly get you in trouble and has early on in the year. At the end of the game, you saw it, the little mid-range. I think he drove just to the right of the free throw line and just pulled up, quick jump shot, money. And you've got to have a guy, a lot of times I'll call a guy a horse. You got to have a horse you can ride down the stretch and you can count on that's not nervous, that's not tentative, is not afraid to take that shot. And Turner certainly is not going to be afraid to take a shot ever.
And Turner's line tonight was 6-12 overall, 3-8 from the behind the three-point line, 9-9 from the charity stripe with 2 assists and no turnovers.
And that's the big thing with him. If he can do that, I don't mind because he's a guy that can get hot. He's going to jack up some shots and he's going to shoot some shots where you're just like, move the ball. That was too quick of a shot. But if he can, I can live with a couple of shots like that every now and then if he's protecting the ball. Because a bad shot essentially is a turnover a lot of times, especially when you've got a shot where the it's a three-point shot, you've got a long rebound, you can get out and transition off of that. But if he protects the ball, 1-2 turnovers is it. Tonight had none, as you mentioned. I can live with that. A really good night, obviously, from Lamonte.
Yeah, and Tennessee had 5 players in double figures, Turner with 24. Grant Williams with 11, 10 points for Schofield, and 10 points for Bowden, and 7 points, 11 rebounds for Kyle Alexander.
And that's
Kyle.
Yeah, Kyle, Don, if you want to share your thoughts, if it sounded like you're going to say a point about him, but Alexander, that's twice now recently. He did it against NC State, and he did it tonight, where he's getting starting to flirt with the double-double, and he's not a guy that's going to go out there and get you 15, 20 points a night offensively. But Grant Williams is going to be the scorer down low for this team. If he can go out there and get rebounds and do the dirty work, then this team will be all right.
Some of those blocks he makes, too. The one where he blocked the shot and then the ball come right back to him, the TV announcer's talking about, you know, the quick reaction he had to get that ball back just immediately after the block shot. I know he's got a lot of grief for 2 years, but I tell you, if he stays for his senior year, he's really going to be a load for somebody next year. If they put another 15, 20 pounds on him, he's going to be really difficult to handle. Our guard play is so much different than the last couple years, both ball handling and shooting. I mean, in the last couple years, it's like we go out and take 25 threes and hit 28%, 31%. And it just buried us, but, you know, now we're shooting 43-44% for three-point range. You got 3-4 guys. You know, I think Jordan Bowden's hitting about 70% from three.
Yeah, Don, I think the difference is this year, you're shooting up a lot of threes, which at the beginning of the year, I mean, anytime you shoot threes at the rate Tennessee has shot early on, it's a little bit concerning to me. But the difference is this year is you're getting good threes. And if you've got guys like Turner, like some of these guys out here that have proved that they can hit the shot pretty consistently. If you're open, I don't have a problem with taking them. If they're good shots, and they have been for the most part early on in this year, a lot of Tennessee's motion offenses have worked really well. Anytime you've got a guy like Grant Williams in there, he's going to be a distraction, cause the defense to want to help off a little bit. It's going to give some guys extra opportunities from the outside.
Jens, we're talking about the slam that Williams took over those two tall guys. The TV announcer called it an M1. And then they go to break, and I come back, and I see him going to the bench, and George stacked the ball. I'm like, what's going on? There is no way that three bodies hit the floor without a foul. I'm sorry.
Yeah, the officiating was so suspect that the announcers had trouble keeping up with it and what was being called.
Yeah.
And the big play of the game was when there was a – Lammers had a what looked like an M1, and it was a four-point game. He was called for a charge and the basket didn't count, he would have. It was a 6-point swing. Tennessee comes down, and I think it was Turner or maybe it was Schofield or somebody hit a three, and it was from.
Yep.
It could have been a 1-point game. It was 7, and I think from that point on, that might have been the biggest play of the game.
Yeah, I think it was Schofield hit the three. He had a really bad night shooting. He hit that 1-3, and the guy's pretty much money at the free throw line. And you know, I give him a little bit of space simply the fact that he's wearing that thing on his shoulder where he got hurt down there in the tourney. I just bow out with saying once again, if Tennessee's 13th in the conference, we may get an awful lot of teams in the.
This is the best conference of all time if they're 13th in it.
I know Alabama got knocked off today. I've not really, because we've been so consumed with football, kept up with what all the other teams in the conference are doing. I've watched a little bit of a Kentucky game here and there, one here and there, but nothing big. But is anybody other than, you know, the usual suspects standing out in the conference besides us?
Texas A&M's pretty good.
I think they're
undefeated.
Yeah.
I believe they might be the best team in the SEC right now. Kentucky is very young. They're a work in progress. Once in a while, when you turn over your roster so much, you get a hold of a group that's probably not quite up to snuff, and I believe that's what's happening to them this year.
And they got a lot of time, Don, but they it happened a couple of years ago when they missed the tournament. And I'm not saying this team's going to miss the tournament. I don't think that's the case at all. But, you know, there's growing pains every year with them at the beginning of the season. You're seeing that again. Florida's 5-1. Arkansas, Missouri, Vanderbilt. Obviously, Missouri without Porter Jr. They're 6-2. Arkansas, 5-2. And a bunch of teams taking care of business early on. But you would expect that because a lot of big-time Power 5 schools early on, they're going to play two or three gimmies. So everybody looks pretty good at this point. Kentucky, for the struggles that they've gotten, they have the best record, most wins wise, in the SEC at 7-1.
And Florida's going to be really good.
Yeah, oh
yeah,
I think Florida
I did
wins
watch
conference.
That Florida Gonzaga game. I actually went to bed, woke up, couldn't go back to sleep at night. Come in here and flipped it on, and it was probably 5-7 minutes, something like that. And I watched the rest of the game, the overtime, and that was. I said that one guard in particular is just draining threes everywhere. And I hate to hear that. Gosh, I hate those people. But as far as we go, if we can just play Barnes's game and not do too many stupid things, I don't think we're going to have to worry about getting embarrassed on the court by getting blown out here. And it's going to take a lot for this team to get a blowout.
Hey, Don, we appreciate the call. We got a bunch of other callers on, I think you're right. I think he's right,
Don.
Brian. If the team that fights this hard, you're rarely going to get blown out. When you've got Tennessee, I wouldn't say has elite talent when it comes to the overall perspective of the NCAA, but they're good enough to where if they fight the way they fight, it's going to be really hard to ever totally blow this team out because they just fight so hard.
Unless they're on the road playing a really good team.
And the way they play defense as well is going to keep them in the games. And their three-point shooting will do the same as well.
Let's go to our second call of the night. Welcome to the Garza Law Firm. That's right.
Garza Law Firm, basketball
overtime.
You can find them online.
Sure.
Yeah, at garzalaw.com.
Who do we have?
Do you guys need to do a reset or you got that now?
All right, we're working on it. Hey, by the time we get this thing out of here, by the time we log off tonight, I think we'll maybe get it right once.
Hey, gentlemen, PTR. Doing well.
Welcome, PTR.
You know, Don took a little longer, but I'm not the only one thinking this. You know, ever since Friday, I know some people have mixed emotions about the big heavy being back in the house, but it feels like we're right in the step to get people to care about that. So, although the basketball team has kind of exceeded expectations, and I watched a lot of the Atlantis tournament, that was fun to sit down and watch tonight and be involved. That was fun.
PTR, it feels, and tell me if this is what you're getting at, but as a guy who's been a Vol fan since I can remember ever watching a sporting event, tonight felt like a night where, even though, no, we don't have a coach, for a football coach yet, but it felt like for once I'm not watching this game worrying about 15 different things and, well, we look at the football team, how the year. No, I was just sitting here watching a basketball game with a really positive mindset going, okay, we're going to get a road win against an ACC team. This is going to look good a couple months from now. I mean, is that how you're feeling? To me, it's just a more positive vibe around the whole program.
I'm convinced that we're going to get a decent to a well above average coach. I'm convinced that one or two Vols are coming home. I'm convinced that staff is going to be a well above average staff. And then I'm watching this game, and I don't remember who said it about being 5, 6, 7 points up make you feel like 10. And as I was listening on hold, I would not have guessed the free throw shooting was that high. I think you quoted at 85%.
85% for the Vols, 23 of 27 tonight.
But, you know, the thing is, if you're up by 6, 7, 5, and it's that kind of fight game, and you know they've got to start fouling at some point, and you're going to hit 70, 80% of those free throws, you're going to win the game.
And Lamonte Turner, having a point guard is at the main position, obviously holding handling the ball the most. If you can get a point guard, that's money from the free throw line. If you got a center, a shooting guard, that's great. But if your point guard is money from the free throw line, that's going to help you just about more than anything. And Lamonte Turner tonight, we know he can play point. We can play some off guard as well. He went nine for nine tonight from the free throw line.
I think you made the comment, and I agree 100%. Okay, he wasn't that hot from the field, but he was money from the free throw line and zero turnovers.
Yeah, that's the main thing with him.
Right?
Yeah, if he's got zero turnovers, I can live if he takes a couple bad, take his share of shots as well.
And what did you tell me? Was it, what, 8 of 8 or 9 of 9 from the free throw line?
9 of 9 from the free throw line. Schofield was 4 of 4 from the free throw line, and Bowden was 2 of 2. And Bone was 6 of 8, so not bad from here from him either.
And then Bronny made the same point I was going to make, and then I'll get off this call. You know, this team, well, he made two of them, actually. If this is the 13th team in the SEC, this is a powerhouse. We're going to have all 14 teams in the SEC or in the NCAA tournament. This team, if they don't have to go up against a team that has two or three superstars in the first or second round, they're going to make a run because of that depth. And because of the point guard play. And this year, it doesn't look like if we lose a point guard or somebody's hurt or fouls out, that we've got nothing. Looks like we've got a little depth there. So I thought to take it, McConnell, go Vols.
All right, thank you, PTR. And Brian, I'll let you kind of elaborate on your thoughts on this. But somebody, I think it was Don, last call, that made the point that in the past, it seems like we've had a kind of a lack of depth with playmakers at the guard position. I mean, you think back a couple years ago with Kevin Punter, last year I guess it was, a couple years before that when Tindall's last year when, or only here, when Josh Richardson was over there. This year you've got a guy where if Turner, yeah, he led the team tonight, 24 points, shot 50% from the field. Yeah, maybe he doesn't have his best night, or he goes down, heaven forbid, for a couple of games. You've got enough talent and enough depth there where you don't have to go, okay, the world's ending, how are we going to score? And on top of that, you've got a couple big men that are really coming along now, as Alexander has shown, obviously, and you know what Grant Williams is going. But I think it's just so much more depth at the point guard position, and not just point guards, but guys that can play point, even if that's not really the position they're most suited for.
When you have to go and get somebody who is a transfer from another program, that shows that you have a need at that position. Mm-hmm. And Shabari Phillips goes out. He, I thought, was a pretty good player at this level, but there was just no room in the end, so he leaves. Darrington comes in. That's usually a sign where you may have missed somewhere. And I think those two are going to be pretty – they're going to make the competition to the point where Lamonte Turner knows he can't just throw away, you know, make careless passes, commit 5 turnovers in a row or whatever, what have you.
And that's the thing, too, is whenever you bring in extra guys like that, or even if you over-recruit,
it's a luxury,
if you want to say that.
Have last year.
Yeah, even if the person that you brought in to help as a Darrington, he only scored 4 points tonight, okay? But even if he doesn't end up being a stud on your team, what he's going to do, he's going to help your team regardless, because it's more depth and it's going to get those guys who are playing like a Turner, like a Bone, it's going to get those guys, they're going to have to play better and practice harder and practice better, they're going to have to tune their game up in order to keep those minutes.
And speaking of, is Fulkerson not fully recovered from his injury?
I don't know. Here was his line tonight. 0 points, didn't take a shot, didn't attempt a free throw.
He had no line.
He had one defensive rebound and one assist in his 3 minutes of play.
His plus minus, which is a stat where it's the stat where you're on the floor, and if you get outscored by the team, by your opponent when you're on the floor, you have a negative plus minus. And Fulkerson was the only player on the team that had a negative plus minus stat at minus three.
Yep. And it's hard to take. Kind of take it with a grain of salt as well, because, you know, he was in there for just 3 minutes tonight. But I was talking with a couple guys this weekend, Brian, and it's early. I wouldn't be overly concerned, but certainly I'm concerned as a Tennessee fan, because Fulkerson, who showed so much potential last year, looked really good until the unfortunate injury. I think obviously by the fall he's going to get better. He's going to get back. He's still out of shape a little bit. I think he's not quite there yet. As the season progresses, he's going to have to make more of an impact. You're not going to be able to rely on Williams and Alexander for the entire rest of the season without having a guy like Fulkerson.
Both of them fouled out tonight.
And you've got to have a guy like Fulkerson in there to give him some spells and to be able to come through when maybe one of those guys is having an off night.
I'm going to, before we take our next caller, I'm going to update some SEC scores. Number 24, Alabama loses at home to Central Florida 65-62. No word on whether they finished the game with three players in the court. It's Kansas State winning at Vanderbilt 84-79. The Commodores' early season struggles continue. Auburn beats George Mason 79-63. Of course, as you heard, Tennessee 77, Georgia Tech 70. The Vols improved to 6-1 in the year. And late first half, it's Mississippi State 30, Dayton 17. The Bulldogs are still undefeated, but I'm not sure they played the toughest schedule in the world.
No, and we can get into this as the show goes on, but Georgia and Georgia Tech, both two teams in Georgia, so much basketball talent in general in that area that year in, year out, it kind of baffles me that they're not better than they are. That's a different discussion. We can have that later on the show if we want to. We got a call, though.
Who we got?
You got the Jaker.
GQF.
How y'all doing?
Hey, how you doing, sir?
I was working, and I'm glad I got off a little early to get home and then catch you guys, because I didn't get a chance to see the game. I just pulled the box score up. I want to talk a little basketball, and then I want to move on to the Tennessee coaching search. My best friend was Fulkerson's AAU coach, and I talk to him every day, and basically told me that John's about 75%. He told me this about a week ago, so I would say he's probably about in the same stage. He's only about 75% right now. You know, you think about it, that was a severe injury he suffered. And then on the other arm, and I can't remember whether the elbow injury was his right arm or his left arm, but the other arm, then he tore his labrum. And I used to play a lot of baseball, fast pitch softball, and I had a torn labrum and a torn rotator cuff. And I'll tell you what, my torn labrum was tougher to come back from than my torn rotator cuff was, which I think that might have been a lot to do with the doctor that operated on me for my torn labrum. But, I mean, he's going to get better and better, but, you know, it may be middle to the later part of the year before he's 100%.
Yeah, and it's a shame because he was playing so well last year, and the team really needed him, and they missed him when he got hurt. And you just hope that that's not an injury that derails his career, which looked promising, and now it's sort of up in the air. You hope that the medical staff can find a way to get him back in the mix here sooner.
And Jeker, I think you're right on something. I don't think that he's back 100%. And even if he's back 100%. Injury-wise, basketball shape, if you've never played or if you've ever played, say, football and then transitioned to basketball in high school, a lot of people did that, you could be in really good football shape, but there's a totally different aspect when it comes to basketball shape. And as much as you want to simulate it, Jeker, you just can't get back in basketball shape until you're playing you're playing games full-time. And right now he's not doing that.
Well, and Charlie, this is Charlie, right?
It's Alex, but Charlie.
Alex, I get you guys mixed up. You guys sound a lot alike.
Well,
Alex. Hey, Alex.
Yeah.
They do, actually.
Go ahead.
I was going to say that you called me Charlie one time, and it's infamously lived on as Antonio called me Charlie. Charlie's a fictional character, but you can call me whatever you want, Jeker. I've been called worse.
No, I'd rather call you by your real name. Hey, But here's the thing about Fulkerson. The things that they everybody said he needed to work on was getting a weight room, get bigger, and get stronger. Well, you look at having an injury on with each arm. I mean, he's been unable to do that. And he's put on some weight, but he hadn't been able to actually do what he's been needing to do.
Well, and there's good weight and bad weight, and I've noticed, Cheeker, he does look thicker to me this year.
I think Schofield's still suffering a little bit from his injury of the shoulder, and that's not really been talked about, but he's had a few games where he's sort of had to take a back seat for some time, and that's another health issue that we'll have to keep a close eye on as we go along.
Well, guys, I tell you from experience, I've had 3 shoulder surgeries, and they're not any fun. They're not any fun at all.
What surgery is fun?
You got that right. Hey, guys, on this coaching search, you know how much I think of Fulmer, don't you, Brownie?
We'll try to keep mostly to basketball, but go right ahead real quick, though.
Okay, but I'll say one thing. If he can deliver Justin Puente, I'll forgive him for sticking that knife in King Johnny's back and pulling it out and then sticking it back in there and twisting it around.
I also saw a tweet where Justin Fuente didn't even want to pick up the phone, so.
That's a good sign.
I take that for what it's worth. I mean,
I think that's a good sign. If he doesn't want to answer the phone, that means he's thinking about it. But here's my deal. And I told a bunch of people this. I don't know if I said it on Tony's show. I think I did, Brian. Correct me if I'm wrong. But when this whole deal started, when we knew we had to get rid of Butchie Boy, even before we cut Butchie Boy loose, if we couldn't get Gruden, Fuente was my man. That's who I wanted.
Well,
and you look up at what he did. Have you read his bio?
Yes,
you guys.
Here's a point. Everyone lamblasted the Butch hire because that was the coach that Dooley beat. Well, do you still feel that way? Even though Fuente is a coach that Butch beat.
And that, if you remember, guys, that was a game where Tennessee turned the ball over like 7 times, still 5 times, whichever it was. That and the Texas A&M game, Tennessee absolutely was totally.
Well, I think Virginia Tech's the one that turned it over what 5 or 6 times.
Maybe that was the team.
So it was reversed. But go ahead,
Jim. Hey, but here's the deal. I mean, if you look, Fuente, he started out 1-7 his first year at Memphis. He won his final 3 games to finish 4-8. The next season, he takes them 10-3. They win a bowl game and finish in the top 25. The first 10-win season since 1938 for Memphis. And then he goes to Virginia Tech, and his first season he wins his division and takes them to the ACC championship game. I'm telling you guys, and what I love about him is his age, 41 years old. I don't want no damn 60. How old is Les Miles, 64 years old?
He's not much younger than Fulmer, I don't think.
No, he's not. I'd rather have Fulmer as I can't believe I just said that. I'd rather have Fulmer's left smile.
We appreciate the call. We're going to try to get back to basketball, but please call tomorrow. I know you will.
All right. See you, Sheep.
See you.
Hey, real
quick. GQF, go ahead.
Brownie, real quick, and this is the Garza Law Firm basketball overtime. It's garzalaw.com. And as we bring Nathaniel Rutherford in from RockyTopInsider.com, I just wanted to say this. He said Fuente is, what, 41 years old? Do you know who's 42?
Lane Kiffin.
Absolutely. All right, Nathaniel Rutherford, we welcome you in here. One more time, you can go ahead and call in and talk to us and Nathaniel at 865-200-5402, 865-200-5402 to get on here. We'd love to have you. Nathaniel, your thoughts on tonight's win? Not the prettiest of wins, but a W is a W in early December.
Yeah, when you're a good team, you find ways to win. Tennessee made their free throws. I think they were something like 13 to 15 down the stretch in their free throws. Good teams make their free throws. That's why I'm very excited about this team. They have a lot of other, obviously good aspects, but they've been a fairly consistent team from the free throw line, and that's what you look for when you look for good teams. Teams that make their free throws, teams that are very good at not turning the ball over. Tennessee got gypped in a lot of foul calls tonight. The officiating wasn't good for either side of the ball in this game, but Grant Williams fouls out. Kyle Alexander fouls out. Those are two of your definitely Grant Williams, your number one guy. But Alexander's been pretty good as, in a support role to start the season as far as being, he's actually getting very consistently, almost getting double-doubles. He got his very first ever double-double earlier this season. He's been getting somewhere around 8, 9, 10, 11 rebounds every single game. Those two guys foul out. Of course, Alexander fouls out quite a bit later than Williams did. But Tennessee finds a way to win against the Georgia Tech team that I don't think is going to make the tournament. I don't think they're necessarily a good team per se, but it was still a quality win on the road that Tennessee needed to get. And they're going to, you know, face Lipscomb this week, and then they're a two games away essentially from having a sold out potentially game in Thompson Bowling Arena here against North Carolina. That's going to be a really, really fun game to cover.
Yeah, and you know, how about that game if Tennessee can? How many more games do you say they got between now and then?
One.
Just one.
I think
yet,
it's just Lipscomb. Let me check it quickly. I'm pretty sure it's
Saturday. So, yeah, you know, Nathaniel, you beat Lipscomb like you should, and then you're going into that game, what, 7-1?
Yeah, 7-1.
Against the North Carolina team.
And North Carolina was a winner today over Tulane, 97-73, and I believe they just have one loss. To
yeah, so
State.
You could have two teams with one loss there at TBA with
the
not only
teams.
The fans thinking, hey, we're doing well, we could beat this team, knowing that we should have beat them last year. And, you know, I just think back to a couple years ago. Granted, they didn't have Kemba Walker anymore, but it was the following season, a December game like this, I believe, right after Connecticut had won the national title. TBA was bumping that game. It wasn't, you know, sold out or anything, but I think, like you made a good point, Nathaniel, I think this could be maybe the biggest crowd in several years at Thompson Bowling Arena.
Yeah, I've always loved big non-conference games for Tennessee, even if they're on the road to their home or away, either one. I mean, look back to the Pearl Era when Rick Barnes was at Texas. Tennessee played Texas, and that was a big game. The Tennessee-Memphis rivalry is always a big one. You've had several when Conzo was here, Tennessee and Georgetown, when Georgetown was really good, too. I always love these big non-conference matchups with Tennessee in basketball because they always bring the hype, and especially when Tennessee's good, because they actually have a chance to win it. Last year, Tennessee, even though they, you know, faltered down the stretch, they gave North Carolina all they wanted in that game, and Tennessee actually just blew a, I think it was a 19-point lead or something like that against the Tar Heels, and they ended up losing that game.
And North Carolina
this time,
fortunate to win that game, too.
Yeah, they were. Yeah. And this time, I think it's going to be I'm not going to say similar. I don't think Tennessee's going to grab a huge lead and then squander it, but I think this game is going to be just as close when it comes down to it. I think it's going to be a very close game because Tennessee cannot overlook Lipscomb. I don't think they're going to lose that game by any stretch of the means, but they still cannot overlook that game and can't overlook them and then look ahead to North Carolina because if they drop that game, that would be an ultimate just kind of mood killer before they play North Carolina.
I think Tennessee now has some margin for error because if they had lost tonight, you almost have to get the North Carolina game in order to keep a good tournament resume going. But now, with already having beaten Purdue and then Georgia Tech on the road and NC State, all three of those away from your home floor, you've got a chance that even if North Carolina beats you, you're still in pretty good solid footing as far as being in the bracket, I would think.
Yeah, I mean, you look at their schedule right now, I think their RPI is somewhere in the top 40 at least, and I think KenPom has them in the top 40. There's a chance that Wake Forest isn't having a great season so far, but they'll still be a Power 5 win. I'm not sure where they'll end up in the RPI or BPI or anything like that, but Tennessee's got, when it comes to their non-conference schedule left, you have Lipscomb, North Carolina, Furman, and then at Wake Forest on December 23rd.
Don't forget about Iowa State in the Big 12 Challenge, which is later on.
That's right. They're not showing up on the schedule for some reason, but you're totally right on that. And then they open up SEC play here December 30th against Arkansas. So that's going to be Iowa State's back. It's later in January.
I think Arkansas
is going to be a really good
on the road
stretch here. The last kind of five games before the SEC slate opens up, and as you mentioned, you have the Iowa State game right in the middle of SEC play. That's going to be a tough one too.
Brian, you want to go ahead and get this caller
let's
in?
Let's get the caller. Who do we have here?
Hey, gentlemen. This is Harry from Hawkins County. Great win tonight. Just real quick question. I know you guys were talking about Fulkerson a little while ago. I recall last year, he only played in a handful of games. Did he not get a medical red shirt?
How many games do you have to play in order to not be able to get your red shirt?
I don't know the answer to that. I'm going to look that up real quick for you, though, caller, while you're
What's he listed as?
He's listed, by the way, he's listed on Tennessee's basketball roster as a redshirt freshman. So he's listed on the official Tennessee roster as a redshirt freshman.
That's what I was thinking. I didn't want to say that without looking it up, but you've got that there, so appreciate that. Okay. So, yeah, you're right. He did end up getting a redshirt, being able to use a redshirt right there, caller.
Yeah, good. Yeah, that'll help him out. Yeah, and I guess lastly, that North Carolina game is setting up to be a huge game, maybe one of the biggest games since the Bruce Pearl era. I mean, you guys agree with that?
I think certainly one of the bigger games in Thompson Bowling Arena.
It could be Rick Barnes' version of Bruce Pearl's Texas. Sort of, you know, it could be the game that spurs this team on to a pretty good season. Like last year, you know, they went to North Carolina and nearly pulled it off, and that would have been kind of like equivalent to, you know, ironically, what Texas was to Bruce Pearl if they could have got it.
Yeah, I think North Carolina's winnable. I mean, you know, Luke May's been playing really well for them, and, of course, Barry, but I think we might get them this year. And I appreciate you guys taking my call. Have a great night.
All right, no problem. We appreciate
you
calling.
Thank you for the call. And we've talked about RPIs. Tennessee's RPI right now is 15, and it shows them at 6-1. I'm not sure if that's with tonight's win factored in or not, but I mean that's...
I believe so, because they were 5-1 before tonight, so
yeah.
I'm assuming that's...
But I don't know if they've
time.
Figured
yeah.
the RPI to change. They got the record, but the RPI is a little bit harder to figure, I would think.
Nathaniel, what if we did the old, you know, they've been checkering Nealon for like 3 or 4 years now. I don't know if that they've done it since, I know they haven't done it since Bruce. Well, what do you think about a checkering TBA like the good old days?
That would be fantastic. I'd be all for it, because that's what, you know, you first saw it ever done was when they did that against Kentucky. That would be fantastic if they did that against North Carolina this upcoming week, or if they did it when Kentucky came here as well. But that'd be so cool to see, because it hasn't been done, in maybe 10 years or maybe a little bit less. It hasn't
something,
been done in a while.
Yeah,
it would look
like
so cool. Because anytime you checker anything that Tennessee does when it's in a stadium or an arena, it just looks so cool.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. And if you want to get on and talk about the environment for that game, if you want to talk more about this game, we'll absolutely do it. We'll go through a couple more stats here, Nathaniel, see what you think about this. Tennessee's guard play, obviously Turner led the way. We've talked about the depth some tonight, but Turner 9 of 9 from the free throw stripe, Bone 6 of 8, so a combined 15 made free throws out of 17 for your two main point guards, I guess you would say. You're going to win a bunch of ball games if those two shoot like they did down the stretch from the charity stripe.
Speaking of RPIs, this is an interesting. Tennessee is 15th in the RPI. There are four teams in the SEC. We're talking about the SEC, who's been much maligned, that have a higher RPI than that. Texas A&M is 2. Missouri is 4. Alabama is 6. Kentucky is 19th. Kentucky is 19th in the RPI. And Arkansas is 13th. Tennessee checks in at 15th. So you have 5 teams, 15 or better, and none of them is Kentucky. Think about that for a second. You're speechless. I mean,
yeah, it's sorry, I didn't hear you go over to me. Yeah, that's interesting. It's basketball, it's not necessarily SEC and football. You don't expect them to you know, be that good. I do wonder if, you know, once the SEC play comes in and they start playing other you know, everyone else in the conference, how that's going to change and how these other schools will kind of change things as well. But that's still really, it's kind of interesting to see, because that's not what you are used to at all in basketball, especially over the past few years. They're pretty good. You know, when Tennessee was rocking under Pearl, I mean, the SEC wasn't that bad. And then when Missouri first came in, when the you know, the conference expanded, the SEC wasn't that bad either.
Well,
but it's been, for the past 3-4 years, it has not been anything to write home about.
We know Florida's supposed to be really good, but their RPI is only 62 right now, and I'm sure that'll improve. But, I mean, you do have several teams with triple-digit RPIs, with South Carolina, LSU, Ole Miss, Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt really struggling, but it seems like its teams are in the top 20 or they're above 60.
Yeah, they have really good quality teams. That's why a lot of people were, you know, wondering if Tennessee would be able to make it, because there's going to be a lot of, I think, kind of bubble teams in the SEC this year, and Alabama and all those other schools that they're going to, you know, projected to finish somewhere, you know, they could finish somewhere in the top 5 or they could finish somewhere in the bottom half. But it's because there's so many teams in the SEC right now who have that, you know, that borderline talent that are pretty good, but is going to have a couple games go the way, or they may lose a couple of games and it knock them out. And that's, I think there's like 5 or 6 different SEC teams that are in that same situation that Tennessee's in, where they're right there, but they could have things go their way or they could have things not go their way. It just kind of depends on, you know, 3, 4, or 5 games here.
You're now listening to myself, Alex Myers, Briny Boy Hartman, Brian Hartman himself, two Oak Ridgers, I guess, in the Ray Mears studio tonight, along with Nathaniel Rutherford, who we appreciate greatly jumping on here with us tonight. This is the Garza Law Firm Basketball Overtime. You can visit them at garzalaw.com.
Let's go to our next caller. Who do we have?
Hey, guys. It's Timothy. How's it going?
What's up?
Hey, just left the game.
You were at the game?
Yes, I was at the game. We had a great crowd in there tonight. I mean, it was absolutely incredible. The fans were rocking. Being as much foul trouble as we were in, Jamie Lucky and Ron Groover are just trash officials. They love to blow that whistle, and we managed to get a huge win. But, I mean, Kyle Alexander said it in the post game. He said that he had to give a lot of credit to the fan base. And, I mean, man, it was awesome in there. We were rocking.
How was it full? I mean, what was the official attendance? Do you know?
Not sure. Put it this way. I mean, if they didn't have their students in there or their band, it'd probably been 50-50, UT to Georgia Tech.
Yeah, I'm not surprised that Tennessee would have a fair contingent because they're so close and there's a lot of Tennessee fans in that area. Georgia Tech's not really a tough ticket in town, so I expect it to be a lot of orange.
Well, and you got to think, Falcons play today. Georgia played in the SEC Championship yesterday. So the focus is certainly in that state, probably not on Georgia Tech basketball tonight.
Exactly. And Georgia Tech doesn't have a great, tremendous amount of fans anyway.
Hey, guys, it's Fake Buzz. I was at the game, too. I talked to the tub.
Right. Yes.
You know the tubs?
The tubs. Who would that be?
You know, the two fans that always sit behind the bench and are at every game, every baseball game, every football game.
You mean the older couple?
Yes, exactly.
That the guy with the orange jacket and they got a pom pom. It's like they're like a 60-year-old couple that goes everywhere.
Yes, they're legendary.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
Yes, I talked to them. They're legendary fans. They also sat in front of me at the Bama game. They go thick and thin, and I think we're going to be a 4-5 seed in the tournament this year. What do you think about that?
You talking about the SEC tournament?
No, well. I'm talking about the NCAA tournament.
I think there's a lot of basketball to be played.
I'm not going to go that far just yet.
I'm going that far though. I feel good about this team.
Hey, but you know, here's the thing. Why not think that way as a fan right now? I mean,
hey,
you have no reason not to. Of all the stuff, I'm assuming you're a UT football fan as well, right?
Yes.
Why the heck not? Why not think that way right now? We've got something to feel good about as this fan base. Doggone it, I'm not going to shoot you down tonight.
Hey, you know what, though?
But I will make this point, okay? We didn't even play that great, and we kind of handled them at their place. And we got in foul trouble a little bit. You know, I'm not saying we're – I mean, a 4-5 team is not a great team, you know, by any stretch of the imagination, but it's a good team, and I think we are a good team. I mean, there is a lot of basketball to be played. You know, people could be injured, but right now I think we are a good team.
Yeah, I think so, and if they beat North Carolina, I believe I'll be right there with you. If they can get that win, I see at minimum maybe 6 or 7 losses in the SEC at the most is what I meant to say, yeah. And minimum 11 to 12 wins, at least.
We're already in the KenPom rankings, we're already number 25. So, I mean, this will only move us up. But the thing is, if we want to, you know, certify ourselves, we gotta beat North Carolina. But huge win today, boys. And go Vols, go Big Orange. And we want some more Groomers, baby. Groomers!
I might have to. We appreciate the call, certainly. Nathaniel, he made a good point about KenPom and the ranking. And, you know, if we beat Lipscomb, which, you know, you would assume that we could get that done, there's a high likelihood that we're going to go into that North Carolina ball game at home against the highly touted Tar Heels as a ranked team. And that's only going to make that even in a better environment, you would think.
By the way, Lipscomb's RPI is 44. I don't know what you can take by that, but, I mean, that's
5-3 on the season, so no. And you know how those Nashville teams, the Lipscombs, the Belmonts, those smaller school teams in Nashville, mainly Belmont. But I don't ever take those teams for granted, Nathaniel.
Oh yeah, no way. You don't ever take any of the teams like that for granted. That's what I said. Tennessee can't be caught looking ahead. to the Tar Heels, because Lipscomb's a good enough team that they could absolutely beat Tennessee if they catch them snoozing.
Vanderbilt, are they the third best team in their own city this year?
Well, if you're counting Murfreesboro as part of their city, they could be the fourth. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, I mean, that's true. Let's see. Lipscomb's played Emory, and they won. They played Moorhead. They've lost to Bama by 18. They lost to Texas by 23. They lost to Tennessee Tech by 14. Their RPI. Well, so you can pretty much take that for what it's worth.
Yeah, I think this is a game Tennessee should.
If Tennessee doesn't win by at least 20, I'll be surprised. At least.
I think barring a complete lack of focus, like Nathaniel's talking about trying to avoid, I think barring a situation like that, this is a game that Tennessee shouldn't be real worried about with under 5 minutes to go in that ball game.
And let's check what Furman's RPI is. Furman is the other, I guess, bye game they play, and that's between North Carolina and Wake Forest. I believe Furman's the last home game before Christmas, and I'll check that in here in a minute. But Nathaniel,
yeah, you're right. They are. I'm not sure what their RPI is. I know Furman is the last home game before Christmas, and it's on December
20th. Yep, that's right.
Call in tonight. Join us at 865-200-5402. We got no calls right now. We're going to take this thing as far as you guys want us to take it. I know we're going to be in here till try to get this thing to 9:30 if we can, Brian. Does that sound good to you?
That sounds good to me. Furman is 5-3 with an 89 RPI, so... I mean, you've got double-digit RPI teams at your bye games right now, so that's going to help.
If you're
just
joining us, let's go over a couple of the stats again, a few more of the stats while we wait for a couple calls here. Bench points tonight was the main difference, I think the biggest stat differential in the game. If you look at that stood out to me. Tennessee, 33 points off their bench to only 8 points off the bench of Georgia Tech, and I think, guys, that's a stat that Tennessee is going to win, especially if they end up winning ball games. That's going to be a stat that Tennessee is going to win against most teams this year.
Yeah, I think that's the case. We just referred to their depth earlier, and Tennessee has it over most teams, especially Georgia Tech, and I think that's where they can wear you down as the game goes along. I mean, you see a lot of second-chance points. You see a lot of you're fresh at the free throw line. You're making free throws. The other team gets sort of tired, and they miss threes. Georgia Tech ran into that problem at the end of the game, where they just couldn't seem to get enough shots to go in.
Tennessee shot 43% from the field today, 23 of 53. From three-point percentage, they were 40% from beyond the arc. They were 8 of 20 from that mark. Really impressive stat here, 23 of 27 on the night from the charity stripe. Ball shot 85% at the line tonight. 14 turnovers, not a great stat. That's the exact same amount as Georgia Tech had.
Sloppy game, though.
Points off turnovers, only 8. So you forced 14 turnovers, but only 8 points off of that. Total rebounds, you got out-rebounded by 1, 36 to 35.
And those were the big men for Georgia Tech primarily responsible for that.
Yeah, and let's stop reading stats for a second. I want to ask Nathaniel this. What do you think about this? So far this season, you played Purdue, you played their big man, you played the Yerk 7 guy who was very highly touted coming out of high school when he came from overseas. Tennessee was involved with his recruitment. He goes to North Carolina State. But you've seen over the first few games of this season, Tennessee going up against some teams with some heavy hitters inside, a lot of size inside, and some skilled players that are big men as well that are bigger than a lot of Tennessee's guys, particularly guys like Grant Williams. However, Tennessee's had success not only on the boards and down in the low post offensively. They've looked very good against teams with formidable big men.
Yeah, Purdue's come
to mind.
Go ahead, Nathan.
Yeah, it's surprising because you said they don't have a lot of size, but you know that's Kyle Alexander, who's kind of tall but not really big necessarily. He's not bulky. He's just kind of tall and is good with getting rebounds. But yeah, it's surprising me. They've got the younger guys who are the taller guys, but they're still not filled out completely, like Derek Walker and guys like that. Tennessee doesn't have necessarily the size, but they have the athleticism. They're kind of like definitely not the same skill level. You look kind of like what the Golden State Warriors have done. They have one big guy. He wasn't a scorer. He's definitely their defensive guy. It's kind of what Tennessee's doing. They're going to have to rely a little bit more on their flex forwards and their guards, and guard plays going to need to consistently be good for Tennessee this year. I like what I've seen so far from Bowden to start the season. I tabbed him as a guy to watch as far as a guy who could have a breakout season for Tennessee to start this year. And so far, he's looking pretty good. I'm liking what I've seen from Bowden so far. I like what I've seen in brief spurts from Darrington. I still think Daniel needs to step up a little bit more, but I think Tennessee's guard play could be pretty good, but I really, really like what I've seen from these forwards. As you mentioned, I mean, Grant Williams, we already knew what he brought to the table. He's really good. I think Yves Pons, once he gets healthy and gets more into the swing of things, could be good. Fulkerson, I think, continues to get healthier and coming back from that injury from last year, I think he's going to be pretty good. Tennessee's got just a really good athletic team that, you know, you have kind of a lot of tweeners, I guess, as you would call them.
Yeah.
But there's some really good guys on this roster.
Two things. One, you talk about Grant Williams kind of being a tweener. You know, guys like him, they're not a prototypical NBA prospect. But you can have a lot of success with guys like that in the college game. You look at a guy like DeJuan Blair, who was a similar body type, not huge, 6'5 or 6'6 maybe max. I think DeJuan Blair, maybe somewhere along that lines. He wasn't huge, but he was stout. He was really big. He was strong, and he played physical, kind of like Grant Williams does. So you can have success like that. The other thing is, Brian, you watch a lot of NBA basketball. I know you're a big Celtics fan. And, Nathaniel, you brought up the Warriors and kind of their style, how they have a lot of success without having a lot of big men. Make no mistake about it, there's no Steph Curry on this team. However, when you said that, it brought up a good point because it made me think about this. Although Tennessee doesn't have a ton of size inside, height-wise, I think you could see a situation into SEC play where other teams that may have height may not be able to play that height against Tennessee. I think you could dictate how some other teams play and the minutes they give to their big men depending upon how Rick Barnes plays his roster. Because if you've got Grant Williams as your lone big man and you've got a guy like Pons playing four who's, you know, kind of more of a three player, but if you go small, you could potentially force other teams to go small with you, and at that point, size isn't a factor in your lack thereof.
Yeah, exactly. And you can dictate things with that kind of matchup. Is you can have guys who are maybe not as tall or as, you know, lengthy or things like that, as guys who are going to be 6'10", 7 foot, something like that. But I think the way the basketball has adapted over the years and has changed, I think it benefits teams like Tennessee a little bit more that they don't have, you know, they're benefit teams who don't play big guys who are over 6 foot, 7, 6 foot, 8, because Tennessee still has guys like that. Like I said, Alexander is around 6'11", 7 foot. You look at Yves Pons, Grant Williams, they're both around 6'7". Derek Walker, freshman, around 6'8 or so. So they have guys, and Zach Kent, he's not playing a ton, but he's, you know, 6'10" or around there. They have guys who are big enough to make a difference, big enough to get rebounds and things like that, and you know, bang around inside. But for the most part, I think the way that basketball has changed at both the NBA and collegiate level, I think it really benefits the Tennessee roster. You know, I'm not going to sit here and predict that Tennessee's roster this year is that this team is going to do like a run, like a Bruce Pearl team did, where they kind of surprise everyone and go on an Elite Eight run or something like that. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying that this roster, I think, the way college basketball is set up now, really, really benefits what Rick Barnes has on this team right now.
And it's a tough matchup because they can play big and they can play small and they can play both kind of well. They're really hard to read in that regard. And
yeah, they have a lot of good, versatile guards, especially.
They've got an answer for whatever you might throw at them.
And the inside-out presence that Grant Williams and guys like Admiral Schofield, where they can beat and bang around, but they can also step out and hit a jump shot. Grant Williams, not as much as Schofield, but Schofield's not afraid to take the three. Those guys, along with the guard play, when guys like Turner are dropping threes like they were tonight, that kind of puts a decision on the defense's hands, going, okay, well, we may have to double or kind of help off of a guard on the outside to double down and try to help on the inside. And at that point, you've got your shooters a little more space on their outside, or vice versa. If you've got Lamonte Turner and maybe a guy like Jordan Bowden who's out on the wing and they're lighting it up from three, then all of a sudden you're going to get a one-on-one matchup with a guy like maybe a Kyle Alexander, maybe a Fulkerson when he gets back in there in the thick of things, or obviously a Grant Williams. And at that point, I have confidence in those three guys, particularly with Williams, that they can make you pay for that.
Have you mentioned Derek Walker so far? I don't think.
No, I'll read his stat line. He didn't do a ton. He played a lot, especially in the second half. Only 2 points. He went 1 of 2, so only 2 attempts on the night. 3 rebounds and 2 fouls in 14 minutes. So not a ton there, but he did play quite a bit.
Yeah, I'm excited. I did mention him kind of as a bigger guy that they have. I'm excited to see what he can do down the road. I think he's got a pretty good amount of potential. I really think the two bigger guys they brought in for the freshman class, this class that's coming in, or had come in, and I think they're getting a lot of attention. A lot of the attention was on the guards that came in, you know, Darrington and Daniel, who transferred in. But I think Derek Walker and Zach Kemp both look pretty good. I definitely like Walker. I think Kemp's, you know, going to be fine, but I think Walker has a, you know, pretty good upside. I don't think he's going to be a guy who's going to get 20 and 10 for you every night, but I think he's like a Grant Williams potentially could. I like what Derek Walker brings. I think, you know, learning from Grant Williams, learning from some of these other guys that Tennessee has is really, really going to benefit him down the road in his career, because I think, you know, he's going to contribute as a freshman. He's not going to be counted on to do a whole lot, but I think you look at him developing into a sophomore, junior, I think he's going to be a really good player for Tennessee.
Oh, absolutely. I think a lot of these players are underrated. Mm-hmm. Could you say that? I mean, it's they didn't really receive a whole lot of fanfare, and Tony talks about, well, they don't have a 4-star and a 5-star, but I think Rick Barnes is, if you have a coach that can coach players up, you can get 3 and 4 stars and have a decent team. Now, I don't think you're going to contend for Final Fours with it, but you can have nights like tonight, and most of your, you know, most of the time you're going to be happy as a fan base, especially when you don't have enormous basketball expectations the way they do right here.
Yeah, but I will say this, though. You said the basketball expectations. Brian, I think Tennessee, of all the national and particularly in the SEC, what you would call quote-unquote football schools, I think Tennessee has a bigger basketball expectation than most. I mean, obviously,
well,
Florida has had a lot of success recently, but Tennessee certainly in that category as well. I know you cover both football and basketball and do a dang good job, if I do say so myself, of covering the Vols, Nathaniel at RockyTopInsider.com. Have you noticed, I don't know why, but I have a tendency to just pick out people and go, hey, he looks like so-and-so. He looks like so-and-so. Does Derek Walker not favor a little more hefty, a little bigger version of Juwan Jennings in the face?
Ooh, that's a good question. That's a good, because what, Juwan Jennings is around 6'4", kind of, what, 215,
well,
something like that.
Yeah, I'm not even talking about body type, but just in the face. I mean, his face is a little rounder, but just next time people listen to us watching on Periscope, next time you see a picture of Derek Walker, to me, he looks like him a little bit.
Let's take a photo.
I'm pulling up this picture right now on my computer. Hold on.
We have...
You know what? I 100% see that, even with the hair and everything. I absolutely see that. He's got more of the... You remember the Brian Randolph type hair when he was here in Tennessee?
And this is where we're at with the conversation. But, hey, I'm not totally crazy because you saw it too. Let's get back to the phones, 865-200-5402. Brian.
Who do we have? Yes, you're on the air. Who do we have?
Hey.
Caller.
Hey.
Are you there?
That's you.
Yes.
Okay, sorry.
No, you're good.
I didn't hear the beep. Sorry about that.
No problem.
I'm just curious. I didn't get to watch a game. I was at church tonight, but I watched the last about 10 minutes of it. Man, if we could get 15 out of Turner each night, which I know that comes and goes. Man, I really feel like Turner is the key to our season. I know Grant Williams is a big time player. I think he reminds me a lot of Wayne Chisholm. He really does. Same kind of player, I think. Bowden's a real good player. But what are you guys' thought on Turner as the X factor for this team?
I'll go and then I'll let you Nathaniel go and then Brian can go if he'd like. I agree with you to an extent, but at the same time I think we've got so much depth at the 1 and 2 guard positions that I truly think that if you can get 15 a night out of Lamonte, then you're doing really well. But
yeah.
I don't think you have to get 15 out of him to do really well, because you've got a guy like Bone behind him, or I guess in front of him. Technically you've got Bone. Got Darrington.
I really like Daniel.
You got several guys who are more than capable of putting up between 15 and 20 points on any given night. So I don't think that what I was most impressed with in particular with him tonight, Turner, was zero turnovers. If you can get 10 to 15 points out of him a night and he not turn the ball over, not make careless mistakes, I think that's where you're going to have a lot of success. Nathaniel, you heard the question. Yeah. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I agree with you. I don't think Turner is necessarily that X factor. I think he could be the X factor for this team next year. But I really think, and as I said before the season started, and been hoping that I get proven true, and it's looking fairly close to that now, that I think Bowden's kind of that X factor. I think he's that guy that I thought I could step up and be that third scorer, maybe second scorer on some nights. So far, he's looking pretty good. And I think he might potentially be that X factor. As you said, Alex, they have so many guys that can play at that kind of point position and maybe even swing into that second guard position. I really, really like what I've seen from Bowden. And Turner's going to have to, he'll be a guy that could be a spark plug for an extent. He can make some pretty good shots, some good threes, but he's got too much of a handling issue and sometimes just jacks up some shots he shouldn't. But I really think, Bowden is more of your X factor guy for Tennessee
and
as opposed to Turner this year.
The prettiest jump shot in the world on his release, but he gets it to go in a lot. So,
and the thing is too, and you talked about it when we were watching the game down here in the Ray Mayer studio at Caller, is to me, if Turner gets a shot or two to go early, then look out. And now, I say look out, and that could be a good thing or a bad thing, because if he hits one early, his confidence is going to be through the roof, as any shooter would, I guess, if you will. But he could then jack up three or four shots thinking he's hot, and he's really not. But at the same time, if he hits one or two early and gets in a rhythm, he could light it up like he did tonight.
Yeah, well, something, too, that I really like, and I think this is the first year we've actually had it, and you've seen some of it in the Bahamas or Atlantis, wherever that is. But, like, one night, I think it was, I can't remember, he may have not have scored a point, but the next night, Daniel kind of looked for his shot, and, you know, Daniel scored a lot of points last year. Granted, it was not against the caliber of competition he's facing now, but, you know, on some nights, it looks like different players are looking for their shot more, which I know that's not the case, but it just seems like with this team, there's not a guy that you have to say, well, if we don't get at least 15 out of him, then we're up the creek. You know what I'm saying? Like we can get maybe 10 from this guy, 8 from this guy, maybe 4 from him, and if we get one of our big contributors like Grant, you know, if he contributes like he's doing, then we got a good chance to win. And I really feel like that's the first time that Rick Barnes has had that blessing, if you have it, since you've been at Tennessee.
Well, hey, we certainly appreciate the call. We appreciate you tuning in. We hope you do so the rest of the season as we go throughout this season. We'll have the Garza Law Firm basketball overtime.
Is that after every game?
After most games. Tony, well, if you got a Twitter, Tony will tweet out when we're going to do it. We're going to try to do it on most games, particularly as we get later into the SEC schedule.
I'm sure we'll have one against North Carolina. We probably won't against Furman and against Lipscomb, but North Carolina for sure, and most every conference game in Iowa State.
Every big game. I'm a frequent caller in TV, so I've seen you guys on Twitter, and I just had to call in because I call in about every day to him, so I just wanted to get my input on it.
Well, sir, we appreciate you.
Have a good one, bro.
You do the same.
You too.
Let's take one more call tonight. This will be our last call. I think we're going to try to wrap it around 9:30, but this is the Garza Law Firm basketball overtime. Let's go to our next caller, and we have whom?
It's Dustin.
Dustin, welcome to the show.
Hey, is this Jump Ball?
It's close, but not quite. Jump Ball is a reference to a show from days gone by.
Well, since it's a college post-game show, can we call it the alternate possession?
There we go.
Ooh.
We don't have jump balls in college, so.
Which still
the
just
alternate
baffles
possession
me.
Is what we have to do with this one.
Well, Brian, glad to have you back on talking hoops. I mean, you're very, not saying you're bad at anything, but college hoops is definitely your thing, man. Glad you made the move.
Well, I appreciate
give up
that.
Give up the big bucks to Tony Basilio and come do the Sunday night thing, man. Glad to see it.
Yeah, I thought Tony needed a break, so I thought I would step in and do this gladly.
No, on a serious note, though, I've watched a couple North Carolina play a couple times compared to the second half effort against in Tennessee game. There is no reason that North Carolina should beat the brakes off. I'm serious because those guys are weak, crybaby pansies, man. It's just the mental toughness and just physicality of this Tennessee team. Tennessee should win by at least 5. At least, I'm just saying. If they get a decent whistle, there is no reason they should lose to the freaking fake university. No reason.
Well, you talk about getting a decent whistle, and I'll be honest with you, you're in Thompson Bowling, so that's never going to hurt to play at home. And we talked about, I don't know if you were listening to the whole show or not, but we talked about this, the way this team's made up and their mental toughness and just how they play on the court with their hustle and their drive. This is not a team that I see really getting blown out very often, even if they're outmatched, even if they do lose some games. I don't think that this is going to be a team that gets blown out hardly, especially not with that game. It'll be the best crowd probably any of these guys have ever played in front of on this team. I don't see that as a blowout. I'm with Brian. I think that this will that will be a game that will hopefully go down to the wire. And if you should have beat them last year, there's no reason you couldn't do the same thing this year, except come out with a W, obviously.
No, I think we're saying the same thing. I think Tennessee should win by at least five, at least, just because of all the things you said. That's why I brought up the mental toughness and stuff like that, because if they kind of fold, I'm not saying Villanova's a bad team, but I don't know what happened. Something happened when they, about 5 minutes into the second half, and they just, I don't know if they quit. I know Jay Wright got in those officials' rear ends. I don't know what it was, but something happened. And if we can keep that from happening, this tennis, we should be talking this time next Sunday about a Tennessee victory over North Carolina.
Oh, I can tell you what happened. Villanova's awfully good.
And no, that ain't it.
And I'll tell you, and really I don't want to rain on your parade, because like I said, I'm right there with you. I think Tennessee should be in that one late, but you're saying that Tennessee should win by five. I think, I mean, Tennessee's going to be an underdog going to that game, I would think, and North Carolina, no mistake, make no mistake about it. They lost some players, but they're returning several guys, Luke May, Joel Berry. This is a national champion from last year, and they've got a very good coach, and they've got a ton of talent. So,
and they know how to win on the road.
Yeah, they will not be scared coming to Thompson Bowling.
Not saying they're scared, but just a little bit I've seen of North Carolina. I don't know, but everything y'all said is right. I'm not a basketball obviously.
Hey, have hope, man. I mean, with all we've been through as a fan base over the last decade, over the last two or three weeks, have hope. Tennessee, this basketball team has given you nothing to no reason to doubt them. So I'm not going to doubt them until they give us a reason.
This is a game where I'm going to approach it like they have nothing to lose.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say I don't expect to win, but I'm just going to feel like, you know, if they lose, I won't be surprised or upset because I know the deal. But it's a game where I'm going to go in thinking it's house money, but they could easily end up with victorious, 50-50.
There you go. Guys, I appreciate it. Have a good show.
Hey, thank you.
Dustin, thank you for the call. I want to thank all the callers on the Garza Law Firm Basketball Overtime, Alex Myers and Nathaniel. Nathaniel, I think I'm going to go ahead and wrap it up because we got to get back here tomorrow, and Lord knows how long we might be on the air. So I do appreciate everyone that called, and Tennessee wins tonight 77-70. Guys, your thoughts?
Nathaniel, I'll let you go first if you want.
Yeah, the same thing we kind of said. It was an ugly game. Tennessee found a way to win, and as I said when I first came on, I mean, that's what good teams do. They find ways to win, even when it's a bad game for them. Tennessee turned the ball over too much. They still shot fairly well, but they turned the ball over too much. Got a lot of fouls on them as well, but they made their free throws late. And then I said before the season started that not only do I think they make it to the tournament, I think obviously it's going to depend on their matchup, but I think they win at least a game this season in the tournament. I'm not going to predict a Sweet 16, Elite Eight run or anything like that, but I do think they at least get a win, depending on who they match up against. But I think this team is obviously, we all knew, if you watch SEC basketball, if you follow Tennessee at all, we all knew they're going to be better than 13th in the SEC. That was a farcical kind of just ill-advised, ill-informed pick by the SEC media. I definitely thought this team was going to finish closer to around the midway point, even top half of the SEC this year in the regular season. And so far, it looks like they have that kind of team that could do that. It's going to see what happens when they get in the SEC play, because there's a lot of good teams in the SEC, as we said before, that are kind of that same area that Tennessee is in. So they're going to have a couple of games go their way that are going to be toss-up games. But I really like what I've seen so far from this team. As long as they keep what they're doing as far as, you know, being able to kind of spread the ball around and not really having to rely on Grant Williams or any one player to do too much, this team has the potential to win, you know, upwards of 20, 22, 23 type of games this season.
Alex?
Yeah, we want to, one more time, thank you again, Nathaniel, for joining us tonight. And tell them, I was reading something. Did you tell everybody where they could find you?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at Mr_Rutherford. Go follow us at Rocky Top Insider as well. The website is free, rockytopinsider.com. We have all kinds of content out for you right now. We have stuff on Fuller all through this weekend. We also have a new hot board up that, you know, are back in play now that Fuller has taken over. And we'll have plenty of basketball coverage in the coming weeks as well. Tennessee's basketball team continues to, you know, as we said, just kind of roll along and look pretty good.
Nathaniel, we do appreciate your time.
Thank you guys for having me on.
Absolutely.
Yeah, my final thought, I'll read this final stat line of a couple guys real quick before I wrap it up here. Turner, 24 points, 3 rebounds, 2 assists. Grant Williams, 11 points, 6 rebounds added in. Admiral Schofield, 10 points, 5 rebounds. Jordan Bowden, 10 points, 3 rebounds. And then Kyle Alexander, a nice night for him, 7 points, 11 rebounds, 3 blocked shots. The Vols had 7 of those on the night. Another a good win by Tennessee. Was it their best win of the season? No. But a okay win is always better than a loss. my chair started to fall here, Brian. And at the end of the day, this is a game that the Vols, no one would have really blamed them had they lost. It's a game right before finals start this week. It's against a Georgia Tech team who, no, that's not a really good Georgia Tech team.
Sunday night's always a tough time to play.
It's a Sunday night. It's a late game. The vibe in that city is all about football this weekend. Wasn't a ton of people in there, as one of the callers who was at the game mentioned earlier. This is a game who an immature team, I think, Brian, could have gone down there and dropped tonight. They didn't let that happen. Led nearly wire to wire throughout the game.
Without playing great.
Yeah, and exactly. And I think that's a good sign, too, is even though they didn't play their best basketball, a couple of guys stepped up. Alexander won. Lonte Turner, obviously, did as well. Encouraging stuff out of this team. And as a couple of callers have pointed out, their excitement, their positivity towards this team. Ride the hype. Ride the hype until they prove you otherwise, because if you beat Lipscomb, you're likely going to go into that next game against North Carolina in a couple weeks.
And no excuse not to have a good crowd against Lipscomb.
No.
It's a Saturday afternoon, 2:15. Take a break from Christmas shopping. You don't have to start that early anyway, so get out to the basketball game.
Yeah.
Forget about football for a while.
Well, and you got something to look forward to. You got something to be excited about. And actually, and I don't know, I don't want to speculate here, but the Lipscomb is what, this Saturday, correct?
2:15.
If Tennessee, and I have no information about when the hire is going to be made, I have football hire, so don't take this as me dropping some sort of a hint, because it's not. But say Tennessee makes a hire Thursday, right? They could potentially have the new coaching staff, or the head coach at least, maybe at the game on Saturday.
Introduce them. Halftime, yeah.
Exciting week. It will be interesting to see how this week plays out. But a good win for the Basket Vols. Moved to 6-1. RPI is around, I think you said, at 15 now. So a lot to look forward to. Exciting season to look forward to. I appreciate you coming in and helping us, Tony Basilio,
anytime.
And all the Basilio, the great people that are the Basilios, for letting us come down here in the Raymier studio on a Sunday after or evening and do the thing.
That's going to be it. We're going to sign off. Alex, thank you so much. Tennessee 77, Georgia Tech 70. The Garza Law Firm Basketball Overtime Show will probably we'll have one after the North Carolina game. Not sure about this Saturday, but stay tuned to the Tony Basilio Network. And don't forget, Tony B, tomorrow, 11-1, we will get back into the football grind as Tennessee goes about looking for a new coach. Alex, so long. So long, everybody. Go Vols.